Blog Talk Radio.
Dark Side.
Looks like we're shy of one horse.
You brought too many.
again, folks. Sorry about that, but it looks like I got major gremlins. My board is not lit up, so I cannot tell you as to whether or not I'm hot or not. Hold on a second. Now, according to this, my show's supposed to be on the air, but my board is not lit, indicating everything else that should be available to me. I'm working with half a board, and right now, we're trying to fix things on the fly. Good evening, and welcome to Soul Tree Radio on the Raw, y'all. I'm your host, Michael Lewis Ingram, and we have not been very lucky with things happening on the positive tip over the last couple of shows. We were trying to rebroadcast, and we wanted to do one live because we have a Soul Bowl. And Soul Bowls are very important because we've been trying to get one for a long time. But as of right now, the board is still not lit. We are still trying to get stuff done. You hear me? What's going on, G?
I got the board.
You got the board?
Yeah, I got the
what
board
here. Oh, thank you, sir. Well,
no problem.
Then that's interesting. So, Soul Tree Radio and Raw proudly brought to you by Gary and the rest and the rest of the staff here and Black Athletes Sports Network.
No, and, I heard you. So I got it on your website.
Oh, thank you, sir. So it's so your board is lit, and mine is not.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. Well, I need to ask you, how long have you been a black quarterback?
Michael, I'm gonna tell you this. I am not happy with the National Football League. I'm not happy with them because they did a Dick Dastardly, as you say, Dick Dastardly thing.
Let me
explain this for the folks.
Sure.
3 years ago,
the Houston Texans
had a black coach.
Right.
They fired him. Hired a new black coach. They fired him.
That's
now,
right.
They have the worst defense in the world. They get rid of that quarterback. And they think, well, why don't we get DeMarco? DeMarco to take over Houston Texans. Now, I expect miracles, but this is going to be a miracle and a half.
How you say this should be a miracle and a half? And who else is on the board there with you?
We got Tony and we got Reggie.
Well, put Tony in there. And let us ask Tony if he's been a black quarterback ever.
Only on Thursdays and Meatless Tuesdays.
Meatless Tuesday. Oh, that's some serious shit. Yes.
All right,
well, go on with the Texans. What's happening?
No, what I'm saying is this. You want black head coaches. Okay. Well, I think this is underhanded because he gets the worst team in the NFL. And then
this is what we always do. I mean, seriously, the irony of all this should not be lost on us. Now, my first Super Bowl was 1992. Excuse me. And, of course, back then, it was supposed to be held in Phoenix, Arizona. And happy Black History Month to Phoenix, Arizona, and their governor. But anyway, the governor, Evan Beacon, at that time said, Martin Luther King, we're not recognizing his ass. Fuck him. And the union, the players union, that is, said, uh-uh. Now, they're a very weak union, in all honesty. But for whatever reason, they decided to plant their feet in the ground and say, we're not having this. There's an extra codicil with being in the National Football League. If Tony, Gary, or myself sign a contract, that makes us a member of the players' union. And we have to abide by whatever the bylaws are. Now, the players normally would have just caved and said, yeah, right. But for whatever reason, they said no. And they held fast. They said, we ain't going. Now, I'll tell you the depth of this. I got to Pasadena, and I was going to go to a function there related to the Super Bowl, and this is in the morning. Now, I'm from New York, and New York rush hour traffic is insane, but you haven't seen insane until you see California rush hour traffic. I mean, it's crazy. 12 lanes, and they're all jammed up. So I'm like, how the fuck are we going to get to this thing on time? Well, damn if all of a sudden the seas didn't open up, literally, or the lanes didn't open up, as a bunch of motorcycles shielded all the traffic off from where all the buses, the media buses for the event were going. And we got through and got to our destination very quickly. So I'm like, okay. We fast forward, and now we've got Mr. Hurts, and he's been a black quarterback, and Mr. Mahomes, who's also been a black quarterback. On the first day of Black History Month, I mean, is it too black for me or what? Is it too black for everybody else or what? Somebody say something.
Well, it is kind of ironic that the first Soul Bowl is being played in Arizona, considering all the hullabaloo that they tried to raise. What was it? God, what was it like 40, 20, 30 years ago now? Has it been 20
years?
Yeah. It's been a while. And you know, the more I think about it, I think Gene Upshaw was still the president then for the NFLPA, if I remember
That's
correctly.
Right. He was.
And I now granted he did sort of sell them out near the end, but at least he had a backbone. You know, I dare think that, you know, if Ray Bradbury, DeMaurice Smith had been the NFLPA president at the time, they would have played that Super Bowl in Arizona without any hitches. But it's so funny to hear all these folks talking about how all the Bengal fans, you know, whine about, you know, the officiating.
No shit.
You know, it's. Let's put it this way: you knew they were going to try to taint what's going on here, because like the first thing out of everybody's mouth is, It's the Kelce Super Bowl. It's the Andy Reid Super Bowl, whatever. And it is. I mean, you know, you can't deny that. But let's face it.
If Bengals fans were going to grouse about anything, it should have been the stupidity of the Bengal player who hit Pat Mahomes out of bounds.
Exactly.
This wasn't a questionable call. This was Mahomes is out of bounds. He's a step and a half out of bounds. And he gets blocked by the Bengal on his way to wherever. So drop the flag, 15 yards, kick the field goal, and all of a sudden we got a Super Bowl. Because I really thought Burrow was going to somehow get in.
Yeah. You got Reggie
Well, let's put it this way. You know, you get the feeling that Burrow will get to another Super Bowl. But the biggest thing here is that if you go by the narratives that began the year, Jalen Hurts was not an elite quarterback, and Patrick Mahomes' time had passed, even though he's not even 30, and he's going to his third Super Bowl in 4 years. But don't let that.
27, and he has not missed the Super Bowl since he's come into the league.
As a starter.
Mm-hmm. As a starter.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, you get the feeling, that these two guys could possibly be, dare I say it, the Brady and Manning of this next generation, because they're both relatively young. Now, they may not play each other every year so, but, barring injury and what have you, they're going to be around for a while. They're definitely going to be around for a while. And as much as I say, Burrow will probably get to a Super Bowl, it's going to be a while. It's going to be unless Patrick just, falls off the face of the earth.
And there was a sidebar. There was a sidebar to this. Apparently, somebody made an aside about Kansas City's home field being called Burrowhead Stadium. Do you know anything about that, Tony?
Oh yeah, that was the esteemed mayor of Cincinnati, and no, it wasn't Jerry Springer. It was some other it was some other guy. I mean, he went so far as to say that Mahomes should have a DNA test to see if Joe Burrow is his daddy. It's just really See. It always reminds me, and I was relating this story to you the other night, when the Mets won the NL pennant after that long, long, long game at Houston, Fred Cashin, the bow tie, was doused in champagne by Randy Neiman. Now, Randy, who was affectionately known in his family as was one of the bullpen guys for the Mets in that time, and after he got doused, Cashin said, "Why is it always the most unimportant people do the most silliest things?" And that was the first thing I thought of when the mayor of Cincinnati, decided to have his little Instagram YouTube moment. And look, we've seen stuff like this before, cities betting, for the Super Bowl
I never heard that before. Chris Jones of the Chiefs apparently was so incensed by this, he made a point of going up to the guy with the microphone and said, "Shut the fuck up with this Burrowhead stuff. It's Arrowhead Stadium." And I was like, okay. But he was really emphatic about it. So I missed all that. But the bottom line in all this is we got a Soul Bowl.
Yep.
And two of the field generals are finally matching skills for the most important job and the most important title in all of sport. And we like that.
Yeah, it's a long time coming, and when you realize how, you know, where these two have come from in their careers on and off the field, when you piggybacking in the AFC title game, that touchdown pass that Mahomes threw. Literally like a little bullet between two defenders. You can thank Daddy Mahomes for that, because that was all
stuck in him. Yeah, he threw that thing.
Put it this way, he was either going to catch it or he was going to get decapitated. One or the other. But that was all Daddy Mahomes. That was all Daddy Mahomes. That was the baseball background and threading the needle and everything like that. And
no joke.
The thing with Jalen Hurts, you know, we all know the story of how he had the job taken away from him in Alabama, went on to Oklahoma, got them within an eyelash of a national championship, and you know, for you know, whether you could call it dumb luck or insight, you got to give Roseman, I guess, some credit for going out and drafting Hurts, because, you know, even though they had Wentz and everybody was ready to anoint him as the second coming, he didn't hesitate to go out and get Hurts, and in many ways this was probably one of the boldest moves that they've made. But the other thing is that the one thing that you have to give Philly credit for, they went out and got weapons. They went out and shored up the offensive line. You know, I'll just say this. I hope the Baltimore Ravens are watching, because we could see, you know, Lamar get to a Super Bowl if Baltimore made half as much of a commitment to him as the Eagles did for Hurts.
There's no doubt about that. Think about what was done. Wentz was the second pick overall. You know, they spent money. I mean, they literally moved up in the draft, cost themselves millions of dollars, and said, we want this white boy. And for 13 games, he's what they want. He was giving them the results they wanted. Everybody's happy. They were on the Wentz wagon. Then I think it was against the Rams, he gets hurt. And Big Dick Nick Foles, comes in to save the day. So, y'all know, Philly wins the Super Bowl. Foles can never buy a drink or a meal in Philadelphia again, because somebody will buy it for him. Philly swallows deep and eats something like $35 million to get rid of Wentz, who wasn't shit. And the boy goes to Indianapolis, where he ain't shit. And a game to the playoffs where all he has to do is play average ball, mistake-free ball, they choke. So, here's Philadelphia. They got rid of their mistake, and the same people are grousing about Hurts. That I don't get. Hurts showed poise in his first game, and continued his progress. Now he's gone 15-1 since the playoffs where they lost to Tampa Bay. Even if Kansas City waxes Philadelphia somehow, there's a message there. There's a message for everybody at 94.1 WIP. Shut the fuck up. You know nothing about what the fuck you're talking about. Because Jalen Hurts was the real thing. He is the real thing. And when he signs his contract, which we are sure will be a hefty one, it will still be one of the best bargains Philadelphia has ever spent. Sorry he's not white, but you got to say what needs to be said. And the bottom line is that Hurts was what Philadelphia needs.
Yep.
Michael, we have to say, are you out here in California? Never played a game of Trey Lance.
Uh-huh.
And Brock Purdy, okay?
Right.
Garoppolo's gone.
Yeah.
Literally gone.
Wait a minute. Garoppolo's gone.
Is he never going to play the game of Purdy versus Lance? That's what I was thinking about.
Where did Garoppolo go?
Well, no, they're saying that they're probably not going to re-sign him. But see, Gary, you also have to remember, Purdy's not going to be ready, not even for spring, for a training camp.
Lance is going to start the first 3 games, and then Purdy will go. See, I know what's coming.
Gary, let it play, you know, I know what you're saying and all this other stuff. Let it play out, because he's not going to be able to, he basically has Tommy John. And
yeah.
It takes, you know, it's not like he's going to be ready mid-season or what. I mean, he basically has Tommy John. And we see,
uh-huh.
It usually takes a year to come back. I know, like I said, let it play, you know. I understand all the fears and all this other stuff. Let it play itself out, because hold on, Gary. Remember, about a year ago at this time, after Philly lost in the first round to Tampa, what with all the words we were hearing, is Jalen Hurts ready for prime time? Can he lead them to whatever? And a year later, Look at what's happening. Let it play itself out. I get the anxiety. I get all of that. But sometimes you literally and figuratively have to let stuff play out. And look, remember the very same people who were trying to put Brock Purdy in the Hall of Fame didn't even know who the hell he was when he first signed.
After the game, Minnesota, here we go.
Well, see, Gary, look, and again, this whole season, you know, this was literally and figuratively the ultimate NFL season. Because remember, after opening night, they were selling Super Bowl tickets in Buffalo, and Buffalo didn't get there. You know, people had San Fran. And to be quite honest, even if Purdy was healthy, I don't know, maybe it's a closer game. It's probably not a blowout, but I think Philly beats them anyway, personally. But
no
again,
question.
you know
we
what's going to
tell.
And also, just one last thing. it's a, you know, we all know that these narratives that they shove down our throats all year long. Sometimes, sometimes you literally and figuratively have to go back to Reverend Herm's old adage. That's why you play, you play to win the game. You have to let it play it out. You have to let it play out sometimes. You have to let it play out sometimes.
So let's let it play out. Reggie Patrick, can you hear us?
Yes, sir.
I think it's trying to I think it's trying to patch Patrick in.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Everybody's in.
All right. So
well,
what
first,
do you say
I just want to congratulate Linda Nicole, who's the agent of Hurst, the Philadelphia Eagles quarterback. And my thing is that yes, they might be Greeks, but it shows a powerful message for not only a black female to be a business partner, but somebody that's going to, number one, have his interests at heart, and number two, being Black History Month, we know that the black female has been very powerful, not only economics, but also in the voting range. We see that right now. But pardon my manners, again, good evening, gentlemen. And again, Mike, I want to say it's good to see you back in the seat to take the heat and Big G on the board and T-Mac doing his thing. And hopefully Patrick can hear me. My biggest concern right now with the SoBo, a.k.a. Super Bowl, I can't wait to hear somebody ask the question of ignorance. And I think after the Doug Williams debacle, we won't have to hear that idiotic question no more because of the stupidity of some individuals, or they might even get their name. But gentlemen, what I want to throw into the fire, you see who asked the asinine questions about the lack of ownership as far as blacks or any minorities, and I hate using that word, and also just talk about the lack of coaching. Now, some people might say that the defense coordinator for the 49ers might got a bad job. Well, I would disagree with that because the Fritz Potter Lawrences, I talked to my cousin Pat Freeman, was very instrumental in pushing them and the NFL to not only hire more blacks, but at least put the issue out on the table. Because we know Stephen A. Smith, it's kind of funny, Stephen A. Smith does his master very well, but when you put on a national show and put it all over that, if you're a black person, do not get the job with the Houston Texans, and all of a sudden, you know, they have not one, not two, but three blacks. That's putting more pressure on the other teams in the NFL, in my opinion, because now the owners like Jerry Arkansas Jones are going to not only be seen to be racist, but also some of their people that deal with them are going to say, hey, we ain't got to deal with you. You might be a billionaire, but we can hurt your bottom line as far as not supporting your product. Apologize being so long-winded.
No, you're right. You're right. And I ain't got to think about the fact that they went through all that and they made these moves. We always talk about the difference between the real corporate world and sports. Somebody makes a hire like this and hire a black guy, and then somebody saying, well, really, why are we doing this? Somebody's giving them pressure from somewhere, and they wanted someone who was visible. And D'Amico Ryans was getting a lot of ink over the last 2-3 weeks of the season, no matter what. His name was
Steve Mitchell. Yeah, I think the Denver Broncos might have scooped him up. And I'm saying Sean Payton is going to be a disaster. I think everybody want to paint Sean Payton with this little body brush. Well, guess what? He didn't do such a hot of a deal when his ass won one Super Bowl that was given to him against the Colts. And by the way, we see now that when he had the so-called quarterback whisper, he hadn't done jack since then. He was so frustrated that he packed his bags and left the Saints. Why do you think all of a sudden he's going to do so well with Denver? I don't know.
Red, the D'Amico thing in Houston, to me, and I know this may be silly saying this, there's no pressure on D'Amico here. Let me finish. It's on the franchise. It's on the franchise now. Because I think the thing is, I guess at this point now, it's almost like, you know, who has the worst organization, the Colts or the Texans? Because they clearly, as far as I'm saying,
with the Colts, they got a racist, drunk-ass killer as the owner. And to this day, they still have not found out who killed the chick or gave her the medicine, a.k.a. drugs, that she got coked out.
And remember the late owner of the Texans, you know, may he burn eternally in hell. This was the guy that was spearheading the breaking up the players union, and of course he came up with the ultimate phrase, the inmates are running the prison.
Sure.
Okay, we got 201 and 910. 201 and 910.
That sounds like Fred for 910.
That's Fred.
Don't blame all this crazy mess on me. I'm a Steeler fan. Yeah. We got six rings and a black. We've had a black coach for over a decade. So don't start.
It's your fault, Professor.
And having said that, I didn't hear you all address the fact that we can talk about black ownership, but remember,
right,
you got to have X number of white, redneck, big white billionaires in place. White people have to be in control. They're not going to let black folks control a franchise.
Based on
present culture. I forget the number that you got to have, but I think it's at least a third of the other franchises have to approve who makes the deal. And see, at the billionaire boys club, with a couple of girls thrown in, a couple of white girls thrown in for good measure, remember, these people at the billionaire level, you can't just affect them. It doesn't matter to them what you think of them. They already got what they want. They have conglomerates out here that, you know, in their language, oh, we buy and sell Negroes like that. Mm-hmm. I will never forget the comments that Willie Davis made up in Chapel Hill when he was telling a group of students that he was speaking at the business school at the University of North Carolina. I want to say back in the late 80s, early 90s. It'll be early 90s because Michael Jordan was a hot item at the time, right?
Right.
Now, if you all know Willie has this big smile when he sort of follows when he says something that's really tough, he smiles. And he told him, oh, Michael Jordan is just an employee. Now, he's saying this to the school. Now, Michael Jordan did not go to business school there. He played basketball. But
right. He
is Guy Jr. in Chapel Hill in Eastern North Carolina. And now the other part where his team is on the other side of the Yadkin River, so we don't even know who or what he's doing. Anyway, when he said this, he broke it down to him. Okay, if Michael Jordan is so rich, why don't he own a team? He don't. Okay. I think at the time he had Pippen, Cartwright, two or three other guys, you know, that you could just flip out there. And he says, okay, so if Michael don't work out here, we'll go to another team, pull off so-and-so, and make him our employee. And you do this several times, and the scenario he played out looks almost like what they're doing now. Oh, LeBron wants to get Davis and another dude who can, you know, we want all these big dudes out there where nobody bring the ball up for me. And that same scenario is being played out, whether it's football or basketball. In the basketball scenario, I mean, in the football scenario that we're dealing with, you got to have the approval of those same people who look at black folks as employees. You know, football, if it's a football team, you know, I got at least 35 or more of them color boys that play for me. Mm-hmm. Okay? I ain't going to have too many quarterbacks. Don't have to worry about kickers, and I think we got one punter now. There's two HBCU punters in the NFL right now. One of whom is white.
Yep.
Okay. So, you know, when you look at that scenario, the way the common man looked at the whole thing with sports, because the sad part is this: I don't care what you say about Dallas. I don't care what you say about whoever. I'm still going to be a fan. Mm. And you got a mentality that permeates some black folks that I know, and several of them I love dearly. But I had to tell them, your ownership is a bunch of crackers. They're just rich.
Thank you.
And at the end of the day, what do you got? You got black folks who go out there and support the same regime that's holding black folks back.
Right. But, Professor, I got to throw this at you when it comes to HBCU. Okay, perfect example of what's happening at Bethune-Cookman. All right, your good friend Roland Martin talked about how the president there saying he was only saying, no, chairman of the board, the judge said he's going to tell the one side of the story, but yet you got young folks and players coming out talking about the condition that was worse than what was in Grambling with the staph infection. Then you have to ask the question, why these black folks are not getting together and ousting this guy when these young folks are coming in and being mistreated?
Well, there's a lot of wood in that fire, one of the things you got to consider is the elephant in the room. You realize in a matter of weeks, Bethune-Cookman endured two hurricanes. Okay,
right.
They had to close the campus down and all kinds of stuff. Some of that stuff is being addressed. Their first rule of thumb was to get the school back open. In the process, there's still tarps on some of the buildings, or they've been moved recently. And I don't know how many of you all have ever gone out and done a survey of an area that's been hit by a tornado or, you know, or a hurricane like that, and have two. It's more than a notion to get it up and running efficiently enough to correct certain things. But you know, I remember the gentleman who used to play with the Ravens, and no, I don't like him. But, you know, I mean, I'm hearing him from, well, we were out picking up paper. Okay, mm-hmm. We would have police day where various teams picked up on, because our basketball, our gyms at Winston there's a gym with the two basketball courts on the outside, and we would have police call, and whoever was in the gym, we stopped. If you weren't in class, you stopped. You went out and picked up trash, and because we took care of our own area. The staff would come in. You know, the guys on the staff would come in and do stuff like cutting the grass and all that kind of stuff. But we kept the gym clean. And
all this is sidetracking. The whole idea of a Soul Bowl is that they got to take care of the most important thing. They got to change their whole image. Two black men are going to vie for the championship, playing arguably the most important position. And how they talk about them and what they do has to change. They can't just say they're both athletes. They can't just say, well, they play or throw the ball a certain way. What are they going to do now to clean that up? Because the NFL knew someday this was going to happen, and someday has already happened. It's Patrick Mike.
Mike, first of all, I'm happy to hear from you. Happy to hear everybody.
You,
Reggie, Chris.
What's up, Tony. Lou?
It's good to be talking with you. And I didn't forget you guys because I want to talk about you guys.
It's all love. It's all love.
But in regards to the quarterback, for me personally, being around these guys right now, it's something to talk about, and it will be focused on. But for me, it doesn't carry the same kind of weight that Doug Williams had to do by himself. I think what they're going to be talking about styles, and folks going to go on bandwagons of styles rather than who wins. Right? Matter of fact, they're already leaning on that now. Patrick Mahomes, what he does is spectacular, unorthodox. But they still haven't qualified really to the full extent what Jalen Hurts has done, from being not drafted at all to where he's at now. Being said, and he got a couple of guys kicked off the team, Carton Wentz and the rest. But, you know, they have, see, already I'm hearing he has pedestrian numbers. How many games did this team win? He's 16-1 over the last year. And you're talking about pedestrian numbers.
Hey, Patrick, a certain quarterback with the Ravens, I wonder how she's thinking about his contract now with his new Soul Bowl coming.
I'm going to tell you something, bro. That's going to be sticky. That's nasty.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's
nasty. It was, Patrick, we were saying the one, you hope Baltimore's management is looking at what Philly did, because in the 2 years that Hurts has been the starter, they've already gone out and got him offensive weapons, and they've shored up their offensive line and that offensive line as well. He's Lamar is still looking for his deep receiver. Granted, they've had some decent running backs. They still really don't have that dominant, running back. I mean, hell, he's probably the dominant guy more than anything else. And
you know what?
I get that, but you know what? If you wanna go back to the days of Vinny Testaverde and check down Flacco, go right ahead. I know that's fine. I know that's fine with you, Fred. I know that. But here's the funny thing.
Check down.
Here's the funny thing. Jalen Hurts had the same exact numbers as Wentz did his quote-unquote MVP season.
Now, T, there you go telling the truth, T. There you go again.
Yeah. So I know. That doesn't make me popular in a lot of folks, but, you know, it's
there you go
about,
again.
But it's funny that he basically put up literally the same type of numbers and had a record, but no one says anything about him MVP. I mean, they were talking, you know, again, I don't mean to beat a dead horse, but remember, we were told that our Lord and Savior Josh Allen was ready for the Super Bowl, after opening night.
There you go.
Yeah, see, T-Mac, again, somebody's already hit this dead horse, and it is, this is why you play the game.
Exactly. Absolutely.
And remember, no matter how far off some of these clowns are, who call themselves prophets, prognosticators, or just, you know,
amen.
Let's go down to the bar and have a drink and decide how who's gonna win. You know, they want to say who's gonna win the game. You know, mm-hmm. one of them two teams. Well, how many points are they gonna score? One mm-hmm. more than the team that loses.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
but they
don't go that way. They want to go. They go this whole analytical extrapolation, which for you who are from the city, I grew up on a farm, so I know bullshit. I don't have to step in to know what it is.
I can smell it from here. I can definitely smell it from here.
And guys, piggybacking on what Fred said, Fred, what you're saying is nuance. And you know what? Do you know what nuance means? Nuance means? Nuance means FanDuel, means betting.
Oh, God.
Anything
there
you generate to drive the value or the eyeballs to the game and for profit. You know, you talk about... I heard today about something about Jalen Hurts in terms of this guy. I was talking about his throwing motion.
What?
Yeah. Wait, his 16-1, that's a throwing motion. You know, your point was right, Fred was right on point. It's about winning the game. And it's going to get worse, guys, because this is Super Bowl week. It's this week.
Yeah.
It's going to get stupid. It's going to get worse.
You know,
so
we're prepared for it. I always like to tell folks, although for me it's been more of a yearly thing, you have to have a bunker mentality in regards to the media, especially weeks like this. Now, thank God the Caribbean's series starts tomorrow, so I'm gonna be immersed in that basically up until whenever the Super Bowl comes, because this is 1 week. These are 2 weeks where I just can't. I just can't, because I'm not gonna try to call out anybody, but I'm begging you to stay away from the Mouse, FS1 and FS2 and NFL Network and all that other stuff. Because again, there's not going to be anything on there that they're going to tell you or try to sell you that you don't already know.
Tony, I'm going to tell you how these guys think, how the producers are going to think. It's going to be about quarterbacks, the two great quarterbacks, white quarterbacks, Brady and Rodgers, versus the two guys playing in the game on Sunday.
Mm-hmm. It's already starting. Oh, sure. And now that Giselle's ex has retired again, although tomorrow is Groundhog Day, so I'm not going to believe it till I see him with a fishing pole. But But look, they're gonna put it this way. They're going to, you know, it's funny. Jackie Robinson's Hall of Fame plaque does not mention that he was the first modern day black to play in major leagues. It says everything but that. What they're going to do for the next 2 weeks, and for the 24-hour extravaganza pregame show, they're gonna try their damnedest to not mention, Mike, remember the scene in Blazing Saddles when the stuttering guy talks about the sheriff coming to town? It's going to be 2 weeks. It's going to be 2 weeks of that. It's going to be 2 weeks of that.
Right after it happened, Green Network did do that. They did say this is the first all-black quarterback Super Bowl.
They're not going, if they can get away without saying it, they will. But the Super Bowl, the Super Bowl encompasses so much, it's beyond football now because you get the non-football fan. And the non-football, the non-football fan, male, female, or what have you, they're gonna go out of their way to try to appeal to them, but trust, they're going to literally and try to downplay the fact that because all of a sudden they're gonna go from one extreme of like, well, we've become. Why do we even need to bring that sort of subject up anymore? I mean, haven't we, remember, we've had Obama, we have Kamala. I mean, do we need to even go there again?
We've had at least two black coaches, and at least one of them is woman because he was coaching against another black dude.
That's right. So what more do you people want?
So here's a sidebar. Tony, we've got 57 Super Bowls. This is in February. And today is the first day of Black History Month. How come it seems there's always been a desire to disconnect Black History Month from the game? We never really hear about Super Bowl and this being intertwined until now, where we have the Soul Bowl. Anybody?
Just one thing for me. Black History Month begins on January 1st and it ends on December 31st. But I got to get what you're saying.
Thank you very much. And what I want to see is someone. If someone's really going to produce this right, I want to see somebody do a history on talking about two black quarterbacks, the first black quarterback.
Yes.
Washington out in UCLA. I wonder if somebody's going to mention that. I wonder if somebody's going to really go into history about that. Somebody might be old enough to do that.
There was 85 years for that one.
I mean, there's so many different stories here. We touched upon how ironic it is that the two black quarterbacks are playing in Arizona, a place that didn't want to recognize Dr. King almost 20 years ago. You have, the story of Jalen Hurts being a coach's son. I mean, I don't think anyone has mentioned that fact at all about his dad being a coach's son.
True.
The whole thing of Mahomes being the son of another professional athlete, with Muhammad. Mm-hmm. It's not rocket science. They're gonna play the same old. It's gonna be the same old. Whatever. you know, have you or have you ever been a communist? I mean, communist, or how long have you been a black man? For more than 2 weeks or 2 months or, or what have you? Know,
how long have you been a black quarterback?
Yeah, exactly. How long have you been a black quarterback? And have you or have you or have you ever been a communist? You know, something along those lines.
And of course, the primary one, Fred, is this. His father's in jail, and he's playing ball.
Yeah. Can't do that. Can't do that. Can't do that. It was a success story of made of poverty, made of, you could almost hear James Earl Jones in the background, you know.
Oh, fuck yeah.
This is CNN, and this is the Super Bowl.
It's going to be like that.
Crazy,
but,
man.
But there are other stories that are far more important. Hopefully somebody gets fired.
John Presenta, CBS, WCAU, John Presenta.
This is WCAU. I'm telling you, I'm not watching anything until they actually kick off at 6:30 on the 12th. Yeah,
okay,
I remember
back in the 60s, the Super Bowl was at 1 p.m.
Oh, that's never gonna happen, Jeff.
Yeah, you
know
that. That's over.
Gary, there's a better chance of Jimmy Hoffa showing up at the NFL awards than that they'll let back.
And Gary, the reason that happened is because when I had the show with Paul Tagliabue, and he said his purpose in terms of the Super Bowl was accomplished by the fact that they wanted Super Bowl to be what? A holiday. A national holiday.
Go.
And what is it? A national holiday.
It's a national holiday.
Pretty much.
But I tell you what, guys, this feels like I want to see the Homestead Grays versus the New York Black Yankees for the championship. It's like it's more than just an event. I want to dress up and go to this game. I want to look good when I see the brothers matching skills. Am I by myself here?
No, Tony, you're not. Mike, you're not by yourself. The problem is, it's best to do all of that at home. Because the tickets go on $3,000 a piece.
I know that's right.
Hey, Michael, are they going to have a jail? Since you know how y'all Philly fans are, and y'all Eagle fans, they might have to have a jail there at the stadium.
they used to have a jail in the vet, but they got rid of it.
You did.
Why? They still acting the same. Ain't no difference. They still acting fool out there.
The tickets are gonna average $4,000.
Yeah.
So,
Yeah. Figure
the six of us, we gotta spend about $30,000 to do it right, to get there, get tickets, get parking, get food, get everything that we need to get, to sit down and start cussing at the game.
Yeah. It's an event now that the average person, it's better than watching TV. It's really my sense, unless you right there. It's better than watching.
And next year it'll be the next year, right?
And the betting and the hookers are gonna go crazy.
You know that's right. Listen, there'll be some they'll leave out the P and that's just the USSY.
Hey, Patrick, real quick, what's the situation with the Houston Texans and the new hire? What's your thoughts on that, Patrick?
No, just basically, you know, I think the hook that everybody's pushing that he played for the team. You know, but let's be real. I'm still intrigued, and I'm looking for more information. Three black coaches, and what's really coming out of this that you like everybody agree upon in some plays and some factors that they can pull from to make it look like she was really trying, really, really trying.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
And that's what pulls up. But I don't understand the coaches, but I'm concentrating literally, guys, on what's happening in the back offices, because there's some things that are about to kick off with some teams trying to make an effort. Outside of Tippett, David Tippett on the Coach World, the Carolina Panthers, and Fred, you probably heard it already, he's trying to get up the old boys network. Who'd you hire?
Yeah.
Who'd you hire with a coach?
Before you all start battering our sacred state of North Carolina, remember the statement I made about having been raised on a farm and knowing that there was shifting and bull manure and all that kind of stuff?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I believe that the gentleman who is the owner of the Panthers now, or the lead owner, if he's a billionaire, they need to go back and see where he stole it from, or
that is funny.
It is virtually impossible to be as stupid as this man has proven to be, and still make that much money. If so, I want to get stupid like him, because he admits that when his first hire, Mr. Rule, who is now suing him
for $5 million, that he didn't get.
He got what was it, $40 million to walk away, and then he wants
$5 million.
Think about it now. During the time when his reign as head coach, it was nothing to see 20-30% of the seats empty. And I mean, I ain't talking about the win way up high. Some of them, I'm talking about down low. He owes a team probably $15 million. You get right on.
You ain't wrong.
But going back and getting back on task, this man, Brett, he has admitted he screwed up in that first hire, but, quote, he was a rookie owner. Okay? Here's a man, you have this young black man who is from right there in town. He went to West Charlotte High School, one of these seven remaining formerly all-black high schools in the state. It has West Charlotte is the other part of Charlotte where black folks live, and black women, they don't call it the Black Wall Street of Charlotte.
Right.
It's like Westchester County was to it's like Westchester County, New York, for black people when it comes to Charlotte. Well, with all the stuff that his man has going for him, including attached with the money, you go out and find this other dude, and remember, he got rid of two of the best, quote unquote, the best players on the team, and they got better. He still had no quarterback, and they got rid of three. He got rid of that clown that was a receiver. He got rid of McCaffrey and the other quarterback. Went to wherever he went. Anyway, when you have that kind of thing, and then you're going to still go out and find another white boy who don't know what he do. So, there are people who have that school of thought that they, well, if you're a beater, you've got to be smart. Granted, it's a team effort either way you go. But, my goodness, how many more of these examples do we have to look at, you know, I'm not a big fan of Mark Cuban per se, but at least he makes efforts. And when he screws up, he just say, hey, I blew that.
Uh-huh.
And he go out and find somebody else to help him where he's weak and keep on moving. But, you know,
Cuban has hired two black general managers in his organizations. One heads them. So at least he's done that, you know. So you're right, but this guy, I don't know, old boys.
Oh.
This is old boys network at its best.
Oh, and I'm not sure what her status is, but I know she's on the staff. They hired the coach's daughter as part of the team operations. But then they turned around, and fired him.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm not mistaken, she does something in PR. So now she got to go out and help explain why her daddy didn't get the job.
Yeah.
That's a shame. Damn shame. And then, I want to get some feedback. It's an old story. I was talking to Fred and to Bridge about the story about Dion leaving, and people were asking me because of my stuff. I said, look, I told y'all last March, that they should find somebody to begin to look at taking Dion's presence in terms of exposure of his HBCU schools, because people are looking at him. He got a deal that wasn't the, I'll tell you, the highest paid deal he didn't take. He took the one that had the most control to do what he wanted to do.
Yeah.
I have no problem with it. I have no problem with it at all. Because I never thought, but what puzzled me and it was frustrating is this. Well, he said he's going to be there. He said, I never thought he was going to be there more than 4 or 5 years in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I was trying to explain to people, like, he promised. What did he promise? He did the best deal he did, and I know the reason why he left. You know, the reason why he left, they were taking money from him that was supposed to go to the team. And also what they didn't say, I found out, is the fact that a lot of his coaches were saying, we need more money, or we got to get out of here.
You're on point so far. To me, this was just another one of the cases of where his black guy went to a white school and didn't get a degree, so he had to go to another school and get a degree. To Blue College, which is up the street from Jackson State. There is an upside and a downside. And then we go to the downside first, the upside first. He brought attention to HBCUs, but he did nothing to repair some of the ills. And you know the kind of stuff that we're talking about. We were talking about earlier with Bill
mm-hmm.
Cookman.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we talked earlier about we've also discussed the situation at Florida. The reality, any school you go to, they got possums, skunks, and everything else running around there. So you know that's nothing new. The only one of the things that I think he did that was okay, and that was brought the attention. He quote brought more shine, but it was always about pride. Okay.
Hey, that rhymes, Professor. Good job. That rhymes. Good job.
remember, Langston Hughes has roots in my hometown. Okay. And then when you go back and you look at it, okay. When they made him the offer that they made him, personally speaking, I thought he was stupid to be to stay. because he will make more. He, correction, he has made more already than he would have made in Jackson State.
Oh,
because
that commercial alone.
Well, to me, the commercials are separating the state from what he does as a coach, because that goes with him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but the other thing to look at is, and you know what, both of y'all know what I'm fixing to say. He ain't gonna be making but so much more than the president of the school at an HBCU. He gonna give him up so much of the time from the media and everybody else at HBCU. It just don't work.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the downside is he lied to a lot of kids. I'm going to be here. I'm with you for the long haul. Okay. But I understand why he didn't go. And I understand why he's not taking some of that with him. But the other thing to look at is this. He is the first woman from a PWI who comes to a PW, to an HBCU. Fortunately, he was able to win. But how much longer? What he was doing was not sustainable. He left us some good equipment. He left us some good facilities. Granted, but that's only one school. And I will add this to the plus side. He did make some changes and show how some things can be done.
That's the biggest thing.
Because we all know there's old habits that our schools need to get away from. And one of them is coaches and so forth, and most schools cannot go out like that and bring in money.
Right.
They just can't do it because you got a development office. Presidents at HBCUs are control freaks. Plain and simple. They are like owners in the NFL. They're control freaks. That's why people like Jerry down in Texas can't get out of his own way. He has to be in control. It takes him a half hour to walk down the field, but he has to be in the spotlight. And then my gripe with him all along was sometimes he got his facts wrong. And my favorite was I got the best. I have the best recruiting class in the history of Jackson State. Really? So he has at least three guaranteed Hall of Famers, plus two more who quite possibly should be in the Hall of Fame. Not remembering there's something going there going back to 1960. In the 1960-61 when they had 13 draft choices from Jackson State.
Well, Sam, hold up, Fred. I'm with you, but see, there's something missing here, and the missing is always in the analysis, and you know you can't spell analysis without anal. When Russell Wilson became a field general doing damage, Mel Kiper and all the other invertebrates that were with him would say any short white guy had the potential to be a Russell Wilson if he was trying to get money off them off the side. Now, Mahomes has shown a unique skill set. And frankly, so is Jalen Hurts, don't it? Now that they both come up to the fore this way, they're not overly tall. So they kill the height argument. They've got unbelievably strong arms. So that kills that part of it too. What the fuck are the so-called experts going to be saying during this week?
Mike, they're going to deal – I got this before. First of all, they're going to deal with analytics that bring up two quarterbacks. The former here's the perfect case. They've already started talking about, I've already heard it already, they're always talking about the styles already are different.
Yeah.
All right? Which is true. But the styles, they want to attach the styles to analytics and things that are from the past. The guys who are on the mm-hmm. quarterback all the time. All the things in terms of movement and development that we've talked about, that's going to be focused on the underlying piece of anything they talk about. Are the guys, I just heard some other day, heard about Jalen Hurts when they beat the team. Well, he only threw 450 yards. And did he win? See, that's what you're going to be looking at.
See, there you go, messing up things with facts. They don't care if you win. He has to fit a certain mold. And if he doesn't fit that mold, it's not what he can do and what he does accomplish. What they look at is, okay, did he throw an interception? You know, did his ball get swatted? And did the ball get swatted going through the line?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And see, if realistically, as a former lineman, that's just a superficial number anyway, because unless he's truly being chased, and he goes through his normal motion, you don't have to worry. Even if he's a midget, you don't have to worry about the ball getting spotted.
There you go.
It don't matter.
There you go.
We know that. We know quarterbacks draw lanes, and it's the fault of the so-called announcers who don't let people know about these things. If you're throwing in a lane, then okay, you got a window and people can see it, and you help the late fan understand better. If you just say the ball is going to get knocked down, you're thinking, oh, it's because this motherfucker's short. But what do you do when Philip Rivers, who's 6'4", and throws side on or through side on? What do you pitch that to him when his pass is not down? See, they don't make it clear that the aspects of the game that you don't need to sit with a physics book. All of a sudden, you can say, "Well, that makes sense," and continue watching the damn game. But the announcers don't allow you to understand these things. And that's what pisses me off.
And Mike, I'm going to add this to it. One of the things that I have to respect, and initially I didn't know if he could do it, who was the coach of the Eagles, that he was smart enough and intelligent enough to understand that when he got Jalen Hurts in the second round, but more importantly, implemented things to enhance how he plays.
Yeah.
To win with how they're playing now is really a move that people have said, like myself, and you said, for years. But just putting a guy in a system that fit something that was played 20 years ago, put something where it fits his skills to complement what he can do to make a better team and add pieces around him. I mean, it's a simple formula. But so many coaches and so many guys and GMs are so locked in it. Do they play like Tom Brady? Do they play in the pocket like Joe Montana? Well, I'm not knocking that play well. But the game is changed, and you got coaches who understand that. I give a lot of respect to, I haven't admitted, Kyle Shanahan and how he ran that offense. That offense was wonderful to watch. Too bad the boy got hurt. But that offense is wonderful to watch because it's attached to the complement of plays that he has. Most coaches say they do it, but they don't do it or don't have the right people to do it.
Exactly. I see your argument, and I raise it with the fact that if Jalen Hurts or Pat Mahomes makes a play, you know, they chalk it up to the fact that, oh, you know, they're these amazing black guys. They just don't mm-hmm. say they're great fucking players and they're smart. Intelligence mm-hmm. is always the last word when it's equated with anything black and football. And they will continue to do this. And there's an area, well, I won't say area, there's an aura, I should say, of resentment with a lot of these white guys who want to be so-called experts. They will say things that all of a sudden, I'm like, where did that come from? And it's mm-hmm. like, oh, I don't know any better. You know damn well what the fuck is going on. You couldn't play at this black guy's level, but you're going to tell us how you think he should play. Get the fuck out of here.
Mike, I'm going to tell you another example. I'm going to give another prime example that goes on one time. I'm not a Dallas Cowboy fan at all. But
mm-hmm.
The way they killed Dak Prescott, they want him to be super nigger to solve all the problems that the offense, and even though they had the number one offense and for most of the year, that he's the problem. You know, I got into a discussion with a guy about Dallas when they lost to San Francisco and how they lost. I'm going,
yeah.
Look at Shanahan's offense and the multifaceted, the multiplicity of ways that he got to run that offense with guys who complement his offense. Look what Dak had on the other side. They kept on talking about the interceptions. You got one guy, number 88. What
Lamb?
You know, what other guys?
Lamb's boyfriend, CeeDee Lamb. Who's Bloomberg?
So and the constant telling them, I said, what do you want from the guy? He got to be super nigga to figure it all out himself. And what gets me as bad as they talked about him, and they get rid of the offensive coordinator, he gets a job within 48 hours of the MT. Does Leopard have a job yet? And he won the Super Bowl. Have a nice day.
There you go. But I'll go you one better. Sean Conn in Jacksonville. Jaguars are losing 27-0 at the half.
Oh yeah.
Trevor Lawrence is getting roasted. I drifted off and I fell asleep. I woke up the next day and found out Jacksonville won the damn game. I'm like, yep. What? What in the wide world of sports happened?
Mike, at least you didn't get up and go to bed. You just fell asleep. I got up and went to bed.
That's true. But in all reality, Khan knew what he had. Jerry Jones would have paid $50 million for Trevor Lawrence and would have sold his soul for him. He's still pissed that Dak's black. And he don't want a soul bowl. He wants a white bowl. He wants a white quarterback. The Dallas Cowboys must have a white quarterback. And he can't get rid of that without, how can I say, looking a bit.
Paying him.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, see, we've seen this in football and basketball. These
mm-hmm.
coaches got these ideas. We're going to run our system.
Yep, there you go.
I'll throw the Steelers under the bus. We're going to trap on at least two-thirds of our play is going to be trap plays.
Mm-hmm.
Now, without
very
regard
true.
To the fact that they don't grow them kind of offensive linemen who can move that quick in a space like that, who going to work and get that strong.
True.
and be that short.
Right. Hey, but Professor Coach Hayes, when he had an offensive coordinator and he talked about, hey, let's go ahead and pass the ball, and it didn't work, he went back to a running game.
Hey,
mm-hmm.
You know, what people forget is most teams are – successful coaches recruit the kind of players to run the system they want to run.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, we've heard of several in the last few years. We've seen and heard several – offensive gurus and defensive gurus and all that kind of mess. My question is, how is it we hear them, and we space it out over a 7-year period. Okay, the ones who do what they need to do based on the talent pool they're working with, you hear about them. They're, you know, some of them become standout coordinators, OCs and
okay.
DCs. Some of them
right.
become head coaches. And then some of them are just glorified whatevers because they forget that, you know, we don't have no big running back that compound into the line. One of those right now is called the Pittsburgh Steelers. They don't have two, three backs that they can line up and that's going to hit the hole and pull and you know, who can pull away
right.
from or run over linebackers that are what
mm-hmm.
the size that their defensive lineman used to be,
mm-hmm.
you know, and all those kind of things. And I say, you know, the crazy thing is, it gets blamed. A lot of times, it gets blamed on a player, a la Mr. General Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when you got a system that don't fit him, and he's playing along. Okay, this is how we want to run the offense. Okay, I'll do that. But then the defense make adjustments, and you don't.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And they do catch up.
You got an OC that is still, oh, we're going to run our stuff.
Yes.
Okay.
Very true.
You don't run your, you know, it's like you are third and 10, we're going to run our stuff. No, we're going to run something going to give me 10 yards plus a couple of inches.
No. Hey, look, and that's all they've been talking about. Well, you know, Sean Payton, he's going to fix Russell Wilson. Russell is falling off the wagon. He needs help. Yeah, okay, keep saying that shit.
Russ had one bad year, and everybody's forgotten about the other 12. Exactly. Think of somebody like Parcells. Now, for all the quote unquote that is said about him, this is the same guy that picked Scott Bruner over Phil Simms. Now, when he finally came to his senses, he played. You know, he then allowed he played to Sims' strength instead of having him fit to a system. Now,
yes, he did.
For the most part, the Giants system over the years, when they have been a successful team, even when they haven't really been a successful, their whole thing has always been, if you can stop the run and you can run the ball, you will always be successful. That's been, whether it was Ali Sherman or Webster, hell, even the 2.5 hours that Bill Arnsparger coached the team. if you can run the ball.
Hey, Belichick did the same thing with Drew Brees and Mr. Retirement.
And
he was getting a big-ass contract. And his record as coaching wasn't that hot at the time.
Exactly. To me, the most successful coaches are the ones that play to player strengths as opposed to the system. And see,
that's what Mike
Tomlin
does.
Exactly. And see, now, with him, he has always basically stayed with the Steeler way, in the sense of, you know, they always have a strong running game or what have you. Now, over the past few years, because they've had Roethlisberger basically be the show, they haven't run as much, and that's probably why they haven't been as successful. To me, it's one of those things where
stealing money.
Well, it's a history. Because see, go back to the Lombardi Packers. Everybody and their mama knew that at a certain point of the game they were going to run the power sweep. You damn near had Fuzzy Thurston and Jimmy and Kramer basically saying the power sweep's coming. Better stop it.
Even Darden Flora knew the power sweep was coming.
Exactly.
I'm so jealous.
And see, one of the main reasons why Kyle Shanahan will never or may never win a Super Bowl, he's a slave to his system.
He's a slave to his system.
Yep.
He won't turn his brothers loose. He won't shackle them. In spite of Pete Carroll. And he got to do that.
We call Shanahan the Red Lobster. Look at him when he get mad. That bitch beat red like a lobster.
and tastes like shit.
What is that?
Hey, Fred Smootzer used to play for the Bird and Gold State. Oh, Red Lobster on the sideline, hot boy. Look at him. He's like a red lobster, like a beet.
Fred
Smootzer said that outside of Holland.
Especially now in this NFL, all these gurus and gurus and what have you, they all, I mean.
Don't give me some of Mel Kiper, Mr. Brilliant.
I'm just talking coaches. You know, Kiper, that's a whole another level of idiocy.
That's true.
But it's about, you know, the way the game, the you know, one of the turnoffs to me is that they have basically tried to make, they basically has made the basic running back obsolete. And to me, the thing that's scary to me about the Eagles is that they can beat you running the ball, they can beat you throwing the ball. And see, the thing is, here's the thing. Jalen's not throwing the ball 40, 50 times a game. He doesn't have to.
He doesn't have to with that offensive line grinding them out.
Exactly. And see,
if you're a coach, in the front, they had to dig for the white boy, and they quietly had to do the story. I know they didn't want to, by kidnapping and assault charges, felonies, and his ass don't even play in the game. I'd have been cut his ass. He says, man, you got problems. You got to go. You can't be a distraction.
It's one of those things.
You gotta get a ring.
If you're an East Coast team and you're still throwing the ball 40, 50 times in November,
you got problems.
You're gonna lose.
Yes.
You're gonna lose.
In Green Bay and cold weather areas.
Yep.
Hey, Patrick, the Chris Potter Alliance. Do they have any teeth? Because it seems like they try, but they're trying to take a bite. They kind of like, you know, French fries. You take a bite and you get a few in your mouth, but a lot fall out. You know, the Chris Potter Lions. What's your thoughts on them?
And the Chris one? On who now?
The Chris Potter Lions. It seems like they're trying to do some positive things, but it seems like they're bringing it.
They have the right perspective on doing it. I mean, they've made some strides, but again, you know, that's what it's going to be if you don't get the proper help from the people involved to make it happen. That's the issue. I don't have any problem with the mission. I really believe in it, but you know, you got to have some people in the world. They'll do some things that will be cosmetic in its look, but doesn't go to the depth of what's necessary. That's the thing
with the Rooney Rule, because see, again, what people forget with the Rooney Rule, it just guarantees the interview. It does not guarantee you the job. It's never guaranteed. And see, that's the thing that I think a lot of folks have missed in regard to the Rooney Rule. All it did was it basically gave you
a lot, exactly.
Mm-hmm. And the thing is, even with the Rooney Rule, and even when you hear the NFL use the D word, that's diversity for you folks here sitting in the back.
I thought you were getting dicked over.
No. But
that's what
you
guys
know,
are getting.
The thing is, look at it this way. No, when Dr. King was talking about having a dream and all that other stuff, he was fine. The minute he opposed the Vietnam War, he was a dead man.
And see,
that's the thing when you have to remind you, you have to remember yourself with the Rooney Rule. They have no problem doing the cosmetic changes. They have no problem having you put Stop Racism on your helmet. But the minute you start, you know, wanting to, you know, economic growth and all the other stuff, then like Della Reese, I've got to cut you.
With that understood, Patrick, hold on a sec. What are they going to do different in promoting this game, knowing the talent that they have at hand?
Fundamentally nothing.
Thank you.
Fundamentally nothing, in a sense. You know, fundamentally, I mean, they're still going to look. You're still gonna see the, you know, you're still gonna see FanDuel and DraftKings shoved down your throat, you know, you're still gonna get the cold wings and warm beer commercials, you're still gonna get them trying to push the electric cars and all the other stuff, you're still gonna see the religious ones, and you gotta have the military and everything like that, you know.
The military's already paid for theirs. Here's the thing.
In many ways, the NFL got extremely lucky in the sense of now, I don't know if you guys have heard, but apparently Rihanna is supposed to be performing at the halftime. I know they've been low key in that for the last 2 weeks. You know, but the thing is, they're gonna push all the buttons, all the major buttons that they always will do. But again, the biggest thing with them, what I'd like to see this week is what's going on behind the scenes.
Because,
are they going to have country music during Black History Month?
somewhere they are. Or who's listening to something else?
It'll be subtle.
They're going to bring Charlie Pride back.
That'll be a story.
BB King will back him up. I know Fred's favorite person, Deion Sanders, is doing a pudding commercial. How much do you think the family getting broke off since the whole family doing a commercial?
It could be six
figures plus.
Oh, it will be.
Probably more than that, but $7 million a commercial. And you know they can put it in prime time.
That's what they're paying to run a commercial. I don't know how to put it together. That can be big. Let's put it like this. This would be a case where a player will make more than the president on one shot deal.
Patrick, what is $5 million right now for a 30-second spot, or am I low?
Yeah.
I heard seven.
As a matter of fact, I talked to one of my former students is making a new opening for my show, and he said, "Mr. Farrell, I have to put it like give it to like the third week of February." I said, "Don't worry about it." I said, "Why?" Because he's with a company that's working on four of the commercials that's going to be the Super Bowl. And it's crunch time. They gotta be finished by next Tuesday. So the companies can preview before it goes on. So it's gonna be that kind of. It's gonna 5 minutes nothing. It's a drop in the bucket.
That pays for parking.
They've all been sold since March anyway. What difference does it make?
That's true.
Hey, quick question, Patrick. You know the agent for Jalen Hurts at the Delta, young lady Linda. Nicole Linda. How many new clients you think she's gonna get working this contract? I know Lamar Jackson, in my opinion, specific giving her a call.
You know something? I think the exposure might get a one or two more. I should. And there's another sister, I forgot her name, that has two or three ball players, top playing ball players,
mm-hmm.
And I forgot her name. It comes to the top of my mind. But I'm happy that some folks who recognize, you know, there are some folks who can help out. Just give them the chance. And here's
yeah,
the flip
Jalen
side
Hurts
that.
looking out for the family.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, and,
you know,
and,
my
and
thing is he's bringing in cash to keep me in the house.
And Greg, guess what? When a person of nature gets an opportunity to represent the player, they got to do their job too.
That's
important, because what happens is if she messes up, you know, it always goes double back on us in three ways. Well, I can't be dealing with it. No. Yes, you can.
Well, quick question, Fred. This kid that was a recruit from the European, when you went to Florida, Marcus Stokes, who was caught saying the N-word on Twitter and rapping, and they had two HBCU schools offer the kid a scholarship. And the president of one, I think,
yeah.
I forgot which one it was, he got hot and said, you're going to rescind this bad boy. But it was a new head football coach. He's trying to save his job by bringing in a four- or five-star recruit.
I haven't really followed it. I caught a glimpse of it this afternoon. That's a tricky one.
I saw
with conditions and stuff.
Fred, hold on. If I may intervene, if something like that is true, and I don't doubt that
it is true.
I will do a Professor Fred and say, boy, act like you know. And his ass is gone.
and what makes it worse is that it was Quinn Gray who should know better.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
Mike, I'm gonna do a rewind for a hot second. I told you earlier this year about this kid in California that actually was recruited by Tennessee and some other people, but Florida wouldn't got him. That's a kid that was up for $8 million for a contract, right?
Yes, I remember. Yes, that's the kid.
Now, okay.
That's
$11
million.
Now his name is Jaden Rodera.
Mm-hmm.
He's the guy in Florida that they want to give him $13.5 million. They dropped out of school. Now he's at Arizona State.
He's at Arizona State.
What in the world are you giving some kid in high school $13 million for?
Da-da.
The same reason Kirk Cousins makes $84 million in Minnesota, apparently.
What about that?
In
the name of the Lord, stealing money.
And believe me, with this current group of people that they have in Washington, D.C., there are talk now to try to structure the NIL. It's going to be an interesting fight.
Here it comes.
Yeah. Hey, but Patrick, this new politician that's ahead of the NCAA from Michigan or Maine or wherever he's from,
mm-hmm.
you know he's
mm-hmm.
going to do damage.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, he's a Republican. Just kidding, Fred.
And guess what? The lawyers are going to make a lot of money. And just a brief highlight. I'm glad my man from Big Ten stayed 3 years, got out. He's with
the Chicago Bears
now.
I'm glad he got out.
He left the conference in a better state than when he got it. $7.5 billion contract. You've done your job.
Patrick, is there any truth to the rumor that he did a Della Reese on the way out the door?
My black ass. My entire whole ass.
I'm sorry, T. I couldn't help it. I got a flashback.
I set it up. You guys knocked down the rest of the pins. That's all I did.
Is it true that she told the president, I got somebody that is so good you throw it up in the air to come down sunshine?
Pretty much.
But then we could have my man David Chappelle. We got to get a meeting and call them football players something that would offend them. You call them wieners. No, we just call them niggas.
I'm sorry, Mike.
You don't have to be sorry for the fact that there's going to be so much black. There's going to be so much black talk. There's going to be so much black talk doing the next few days that the NFL will have guilt feelings. It's going to be bad because what are they going to do? What are they going to say? You got somebody like Kurt Warner, and he's one of the people who I say is very resentful of the fact that brothers were doing what they were doing. I mean, like, he might have been working in the supermarket when Jamarcus Russell was cashing that check. The bottom line is he's not going to be objective. Neither is the other asshole Orlovsky. These white guys will not be objective. They cannot speak of the game in a manner that will say, this is why the game works. This is why the game is fun. This is why we like it. It'll sound more like, this is why I can't stand that black motherfucker. Because he's so good and he makes so much money, more money than I'll ever see, that it's like, I won't get a chance to catch up to him. So whatever we say about Mahomes, we'll say, yeah, he throws the no-look pass, but underneath they'll be saying he should be playing basketball, that motherfucker. And
I'll go back to something we talked about the other night.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. The NFL loves to take credit for something, and, you know, they love to take it. See, they can't take credit for this. They can't take credit for Hurts and Mahomes. They're in a sense they're groupies right now.
Exactly.
In a sense, they're groupies right now in the sense of they know that it's almost like the PGA Tour when Tiger was basically grabbing it by the nuts. They'll take the money. They'll make all sorts of whatever. But like you said, behind closed doors, it's like my man in Soldier Story. They despise them.
They despise them. Exactly. That's the truth.
Yes. And it will come out in terms of their perspective of who and how they play the game.
Exactly. Exactly.
I'm so
I want one of the black quarterbacks to win.
You know what? If the score can be nothing at the half, they'll be so happy in a sense. You know, I'm so tempted to watch this game. My only regret is that I have to. You know, I usually watch the games with the sound down, but because I'm going to be at my folks' place and everything like that. Yeah. I gotta listen to Greg it's Fox this year. It's Fox this year.
Oh,
so
Fox.
They're actually not too bad now. Unfortunately, Brady.
Yeah.
I guess Brady takes over next. Well, Brady takes over next year.
Oh, I guarantee he's gonna make an appearance at the Super Bowl.
100% correct.
If, If he don't change his mind again tomorrow, Groundhog Day. Until I see him buying a fishing pole, I'm not going to believe he's retired.
I think he's retired, Tony. You know why? You see, if you and I retire and get fired, we have to adjust our lifestyle. Brittany's going to leave with $337 million coming to you.
He's upgrading.
That's not counting the money that he's stealing, I mean getting from Fox.
But Patrick, the million-dollar question, did Tony Romo, yes or no, say them three niggas on TV? Did he say
it's been said, but you know something?
Back up. When was this?
This was during the game.
KC game. KC and Cincinnati game.
Yeah. And unless somebody has the audio, the official audio, and what they ain't gonna bring out, it's gonna fade to the wind.
They burned them. They burned them like they burned the Patriots tapes.
Yeah.
I gotta go back to listen.
Hey, look, when you have entertainment TV and all national media talking about it in the black community, you know, just a matter of time somebody said, oh, no, Tony, little Mexican, we're going to burn your little Mexican ass.
Somebody might have a different audio. Yep. Now, if that's a different story. It'd be hard pressed unless they have some definitive information that they can relate to it substantially. It's going to be like a fart in the wind.
Yeah, pretty much. Unless again, like you said, if they get, you know, we need a Zapruder tape, basically.
Hold up,
Tony. It was your mission to extol the virtues of the field generals. This was over 2-3 years, and we finally came to fruition where we got two of the generals matching skills in a Soul Bowl. What's your overall feeling after everything that's been done so far?
Oh, I'm just glad I'm around to see it. This is, you know, to me. And Patrick is correct. It's a little different feel because, you know, when Doug was there, you know, someone had to be the first. And, you know, Doug was probably the best person to be the first. And, you know, Russell and Mahomes have it was, you know, to me, it's been just a matter of time because, you know, again, the last 2 years we've had basically a third of the league is black quarterbacks, and there are more coming. You know, you got, you know, the kid who just won the Heisman, a few others that are coming into the, you know, that are coming into the league.
You people trying to take over?
Yeah, we're gonna take over. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We might even bring you with us, Fred, too.
That's one of the reasons why they have so many coaches adjusting to what the league is and not making it happen, where it's going to be really difficult for these coaches if they don't become flexible and versatile to hang on to their jobs. I mean,
look at the college and see where who the really good quarterbacks are.
Yeah.
Where they are. They're not producing the numbers of white boy style quarterbacks today that they once did.
Right.
And we got more teams now.
Oh, my God, Jimmy the Greek was
the kid at Jacksonville, for instance, other than the fact that I think he looked like a corpse, you know, he's won several. But look at the other guys that were around him that were really good quarterbacks. More and more brothers are being played at quarterback. You know, it's not like it was, say, 30, 40 years ago. and all the black quarterbacks were in the option. They, you know, mm-hmm. you got those drop back kind of guys now.
Yeah.
Who will drop back and stay for a while, but they ain't gonna stay back long enough to get hit. They don't cherish contact the way some of the white guys do. But at the same time, the smart white guys run too.
Yeah,
true.
And Fred, your point. Go on, Tony.
Look with the way the game is played now, with the emphasis on speed, with the emphasis on basically motion. In offense, you can't, you know, look, there are certain guys that you look back even just 10, 15 years ago and you say to yourself, this guy couldn't hang right now, only because there's more of an emphasis on being able to be mobile, you know. Now again, if Giselle's ex is definitely retired, and if Serpico down in Green Bay follows suit, I guess they're trying to get him in New York, but I see visions of Brett Favre and Boomer Esiason, but that's just me. The game is played differently. You can see, and again, I'm not trying to beat up Gary, but don't give up on Lance because, see, Purdy's okay. Purdy's good. But the fact that he's got Tommy John, you know, and they basically have already said Garoppolo ain't coming back. So he's going to be out there on the market. If Lance is able to stay healthy, it's not Lance that I'm worried about. I'm more worried about the system, because he's not gonna play to Lance's strengths. He's gonna play to his system more than anything else. That's the thing that I fear. Because see, let's face it, best thing that happened to Justin Fields was Matt Nagy being sent the door.
There you go.
You know, for all intents and purposes, one of the other best things that happened to Jalen Hurts was getting a offensive-minded coach. And that's the thing. I've said it from day one to day two. When guys go to teams, the first thing I always ask is, are they going to play to the player's strengths, or are they going to force them into the system?
That's
the key. You look at what Cam, look. I always use Cam in New England as a perfect example. Now, granted, Cam was a little past his prime, so to speak, but still, he was still more mobile. I mean, look, he's basically rock and roll compared to Matt Jones's boogie woogie bass. Because the thing is, Belichick refused to play to his strengths.
True.
He still wanted to build the offense around what he wants to do, and I think that's one of the. To be honest, not making a long story short, I think that's mainly one of the reasons why Brady left the way he did, because he got tired of playing that same old system. But that's the thing. Look, there's still gonna be these guys that will never have a black quarterback, that will never want to conform, and that's fine. The hell that their fans have to go through, especially now with the longer season, is say hello to 9-8 or 8-9. Good enough to be. Good enough to whatever, but not good enough to win. Because
right.
San Diego is a perfect example. Now, I go back and forth with Herbert. I you know, I'm at the point now where I think that he is.
Play, but. Mm-hmm.
But see, there's way too many times also that he sort of plays his team out of the now. Some of it is Staley because Staley, God forgive me, Staley is just a moron. He's another one of these. He's another one of these offensive gurus won anything. That's the thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, get to a Super Bowl. Do something innovative. I mean, their offense, it's not like you came in there with, the run and shoot 2.0. It's the same old stuff that we've seen for years and years and years. It's nothing really innovative in regards to that. But see, it's always interesting that all these innovative guys get these jobs. And remember, at the beginning of the year, Mahomes is not going to be able to do nothing because he's lost his best weapon and all this other stuff.
Go.
But he and Mr. Bieniemy again find their way now. And again, I don't want to beat up D'Amico, but it is
brothers do a podcast and attack your enemy. That don't help either.
Well, look, unfortunately. Those guys like Shady and others, they're no worse than the hatchet job you get from TNT two nights a week with the three wise asses,
sure.
and Ernie, a lot of it goes back to penis envy as well.
Mm-hmm.
Plain and simple. Let's be real here. Don't think that they're less jealous in basketball or they're less jealous in football. To me, it's all the same. It's all the same, especially now because I think let's face it, Orlovsky, no way he could play in this modern football. And
no
Kurt
shit.
Warner, now Warner, it depends. I go back and forth with so many of these guys because you have to disseminate the bullshit from what really is out there. That's tough. But see, that's a lot of reason why I watch the games with the sound down. Cause I think I was telling you, Mike, I have to watch it. I literally and figuratively have to watch the NFL, like strained beats with a child. You have to just take it in doubt in small bites and bits. You have to because if you watch it, it's just so much bullshit BS hype. It's just too much.
I remember watching the Detroit Putty Tats one Thanksgiving, and Orlovsky was the quarterback. He was fucking awful. I mean, awful. And even the announcers were like we just throw our hands up. There's nothing Detroit's going to be able to do. I think the score was like 5-0 at halftime or some shit. The bottom line, we got Orlovsky as a so-called analyst. As my man said in Blazing Saddles, I am depressed.
Hey, according to Stephen A. serves his masters very well. Stephen A. handpicked that. Way to go, Stephen A.
Oh.
And that bullshit show today, Patrick, I didn't even watch the so-called history of talk radio. Man, look, that guy had choppers like an alligator. Oh, man, with the Venera choppers. I'm like, man, please. When I saw it, I turned it off.
I'm curious, Reggie. Was this a Mouse production?
Yeah.
Well, what do you expect?
Yeah, really. They shouted it up for like two weeks. I'm guessing
they started with Mike and the Mad Dog and worked their way backwards.
Yeah.
Probably did. Like I said, when I saw him, I turned it off. I said, I'm going to send this bullshit.
Barry?
I mean, the man comes to your face and tell you need to stop selling the stinking book. I mean, disrespect something that you're putting out there and you stand there cheese eating smile about it? Really, dude?
Mm-hmm. Gary, you decided to take the board early this evening. What have we talked about, or what haven't we talked about that you want to get clear before we get the final thoughts?
Well, I didn't think that the Black Athlete, I said this before, the Black Athlete grabbed the event. What I mean is this, what's happening in Carolina, what's happening in Arizona, what's happening in Chicago, that should not be happening. If you want to get a good coach, get a good coach. Stop playing games and people have to speak up about this. Nobody said boo about Houston Texans. I'm sorry, guys. That's a terrible job. You couldn't give me your money. Remember, you know why? Because the owners, the GM, is going to tell this guy what to do, when to do it, and how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's their job.
Gary, you know what?
There's some
meat in Gary's sandwich. I remember being at one Super Bowl, and Houston was knocking on the door. And we were estimating as to how much money it would cost the Texans to come into the mix. And we said about $750-800 million. Well, they spent that much to get in, so we know they're worth at least that much. But do you think that they were devalued because the product is awful? I mean, there's not a Houston Texan that's admitted, other than J.J. Watt maybe, that's shown that they can play. The talent people, the GMs or whatever, they haven't consistently put folks together that would say, this is a formidable team. And now,
Michael, I'm going to give you an example of what I'm talking about.
What?
The New York Giants, who I call midgets. New York midgets.
That's insult to midgets, buddy.
The Giants got a new coach, right?
Right.
New coach turned that team around from 4-11 or 4-whatever it was.
Disrespect, but you all know we all know the vile bullshit that comes out of Bristol. That's, you know, if you're, again, I don't mean to sound like a broken horse, but let me say this, if you're still buying into the bullshit that they're saying, say this much. You gotta give the Bolt credit, because he basically took, you know, he showed you how good of a coach he was this year, because he basically took the same team that Judge Judy coached for the last 2 years and couldn't get anything out. He made him a playoff team.
Right.
They're not, you know, they beat Minnesota. which one of their former coaches likes to say were exactly who we thought they were.
Exactly.
But then when they came up against the cream of the East, they got set. They're a work in progress at best. I mean, are they as bad as Minnesota? No. Are they as good as Philly? No. So they got to work. See, here's the thing. I believe D'Amico got a 4-year, 5-year deal.
Six.
Okay, so and look, I am no fan of the Texans, but it seems like for whatever reason, hopefully, that they're going. I want to see what they do during the off season, because the last 2 years they basically, they use the whole Watson thing as their excuse to whatever. Let's be very clear. They were drawing those the last 2 years. They've drawn about as well as the last 2 years of the old Oilers.
Yep.
Attendance wise, and they were probably a worse team than those last few Oilers teams, because you still had McNair
exactly.
was still whatever.
Exactly.
Let me see what they do during the off season. Now, yes, put a gun to my head. The Texans and the Colts are probably the two worst franchises to me in the NFL. I want to see how they're gonna play it out, because the thing is, they could have very easily have just hired another retread. See the thing about the Carolina one that makes it so hurtful is that now when Wilkes got his first job, they took him out after a year. Here he winds up. I mean, they were say what you want about that division, but they were within striking distance of getting in the playoffs, and he did go 6-6, and the players wanted him. Put it this way. What you saw happen with McDaniel in Vegas this year, I think we get a repeat of that in Carolina with Reich. Personally, I think that's going to happen all over again, because again, as bad as Carolina has been, they haven't been rocked. But I mean, look, how can you take a franchise seriously that someone that actually wanted to go get Sam Darnold?
Yeah. I said it before, I'll say it again. ESPN is the only company where bullshit is a recyclable resource. And it's going to take them a long time to fix this. Gary, you got the board, brother. It's time for final thoughts. Set it off.
The Indianapolis Colts. I'm going to be watching it very closely. Very closely. If they are just their day, I'm going to be taking second and third and fourth look at the head of my body.
If they're higher Saturday, just don't watch on Sunday.
Sounds like a plan.
First Professor Ryman, now Mike. Good job, gentlemen. Keep it going, guys.
Thank you, brother.
There we go. There is one. The Music Box will return this week with the Delphonic.
Oh, the Delphonic.
Drop them draws. Yes.
That's right.
So my junior sample retrospective has been pushed back another week again.
Oh yeah.
So my Clint Black didn't make it there, Gary.
Yeah. Not even his wife, Wanda White.
That's right.
Tennessee whiskey. Damn.
What you got for us, Reggie?
Well, you know, LeBron James, the cash moo cow. Jay, you hear that one? Minute, heavy, Jay.
Reg, I heard that way too much last night in overtime. I'll just leave it at that.
That's right. The cash cow is getting ready to break a record that many thought couldn't be broken. But the Big Dipper still holds at least three-fourths of the records in the NBA. And I always say the Big Dipper was one of my favorites, along with Wes Anderson. God bless his soul, because Wes was undecided. But, boy, he beat the hell out you down in the post. So I said, God bless him. Mr. Ron Santez seems to think that y'all Negroes don't need to learn about your history. We want white power today, tomorrow, and ever. Hey, Jerry, Arkansas Jones, how you doing, Jerry? I'm saying again, they have already shown themselves, but there's the other side of the Democrat Party called the Blue Dog Democrats that go after the progressives. I ain't letting y'all off the hook, which brings me to the vice president. You made the trip to the funeral, but what the ham sandwich you going to do from here? Nothing. When she made a comment in California, Gary, when she said, I'm the police best friend, I was done. And when Biden, the only reason he hired her as vice president because of pigmentation and who she got married, just my opinion, and it's my opinion. A beautiful black sister down in Georgia should have been the vice president, but I guess she was just too ethnic looking, if you know what I mean. Just my opinion.
That's right. Oh, my God. Patrick, you still there?
Well, first of all, let me pay homage to one of the, well, the two HBC players that I know who want to be in the Super Bowl. One is an old head from South Carolina State. And the other one is a young blood from Fayetteville State, which is just down the street from where I live. And Josh has gone to not only did he get drafted, he was the one that intercepted the ball right at the end near the end of the game last Sunday night.
Right.
I know people who know him and have heard nothing but good things about it, which is always good when it's one of us. And, you know, he's one of the ones that's proving that you can't get there from an HBCU. Big boy from South Carolina State, he just did what he used to do when he was with the Steelers. Unfortunately, he didn't make the big money. Or as it stands, you have to make big money, you got to leave the team you're on. So, but he is the reason that I will say I'm not necessarily against Philadelphia. But beyond that, you know, he was great at South Carolina. He was great as a Bulldog. So I know the Bulldogs and the Broncos are both well represented in the upcoming Super Bowl.
All right. Well, there you go, Black Heritage Review. Honoring HBCUs. You know, somebody going to get something. It reminds me of the joke that Paul Moore used to say. Whenever Venus and Serena played, he went to sleep because he knew when he woke up, somebody black had won the title. And that's exactly, I think, what a lot of people are feeling. Even if they don't say it out loud. Having said that, T-Mac, come on in.
To get away from football for a quick minute, in the category of white folks gonna be white folks, the LIV golf tour has now has multi-year deal with the CW network to broadcast its tournament starting in 2023. Now, all 14 events will be on, again, it's going to be like a regular turn, regular thing, you know, round one Friday on the app, and then rounds two and three on Saturdays and Sundays will be on traditional TV and also the app. Now, remember, if we all remember, the PGA tried to tell us that, you know, the LIV golf doesn't, you know, it's basically the devil incarnate and the players there, their mama sold socks that stink and all that other stuff. But now, but everybody was like, well, it won't mean anything until they get a TV contract. Dorothy, we're not in Kansas City anymore. They got a contract now. So now the fun really begins.
No shit. Did Patrick come back with enough sandwiches for everybody? Did he go?
How does he find a deli this late in New York?
That's what I'm saying. Shit. and I want to give a shout out to Jersey Mike's. Not because of anything specific. They make good sandwiches. And if anybody knows where I can get some boys that live worse, let a brother know. I've been Joseph for a little worse than cheese sandwich with sliced onion for a while now. Having said that, Gary, give us some traveling music, brother.
What do you?
Your choice. Come on with it. You took the show over.
What do you desire?
The melodic tones of a Junior Sample would be a great way to
give T what he wants. Please give him what he wants.
T
like a kid at Christmas. Come on, man. Come on. Stop playing.
Hey, look, I'm just happy that the Caribbean baseball series starts tomorrow, so I can deal with that right up until the Super Bowl starts. So I'm good. And I start see.
Whoa, if you don't want your daughter
That don't sound like Junior Sample.
No, it don't.
That okay? I guess it's okay. He's gone.
He's gone.
Whoa, if you don't want your dog have get in trouble. Get in trouble if you don't want to.
I want him.
My man of love.
Good God.
My man of love.
I say my
man of love.
Crushing my
man alone.
Good God,
my man alone.
Cause I'll shoot you,
my man alone.
Good God,
my man alone.
I'll poison
my
you.
Man alone.
Good God,
my man alone.
I'll scratch your eyes out.
My man alone.
Good God,
my man alone.
I'll snatch your hair piece off.
My man alone.
Good God,
my man alone.
I'll drop a torpedo on
my
you.
Man alone.
Good God,
my man alone.